This is your life, episode 68. This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Are you who you wanna be? This is your life. Is everything you dreamed it would be when the world was younger and you had everything? Hello and welcome to This Is Your Life. My name is Michael Hyatt and this is the podcast dedicated to intentional leadership. My goal is to help you live with more passion, work with greater focus, and lead with extraordinary influence. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about sleep and your productivity. And trust me, sleep is way more important than you think. And when you don't get it, guess what? You're not as productive as you otherwise could be. We'll talk about that and more, but first, this podcast is brought to you by Platform University, an online membership site for helping you launch your personal platform or taking it to the next level. You can find out more at platformuniversity.com. By the way, if you're already a member, be sure and check out the new Backstage Pass, a video segment that we just released yesterday. It's all about inside my own speaking business, and my team and I give you a behind-the-scenes look how I got started, how we manage my speaking career today. And we talk about things like how to charge for your speaking services if you've never charged before, the one negotiating strategy that will empower you to successfully increase your fees. We talk about how to negotiate the details of a speaking rider, that's a contract addendum, including getting your expenses covered and more. And we talk about things that you can do before you arrive to connect effectively with the audience. So all that, it's not just my thoughts, but the thoughts of my team members as well. It's one of my favorite episodes of Backstage Pass that we've done. And again, you can find that and more at platformuniversity.com. Another page that I published on my blog this week, got to tell you a little bit about this. I get questions from people, email messages, voicemail messages about people who want to, quote, pick my brain. If you're a consultant or a coach, or you do some kind of professional services, you probably get these kinds of messages too. Well, I basically have said no when people ask that question. You know, can I pick your brain? No, I don't have time. I wished I did, but I don't. Not if I'm going to get done the things that are important to my calling and the projects that matter the most to me. So I typically say no to those projects, but I thought I got to come up with a better answer than that. So I created a page called Pick My Brain, and it's at michaelhyatt.com/pickmybrain. And I talk about seven different ways you can access my brain, including some free ones and some that you have to pay for. But these are ways that you can pick my brain. Check it out. And by the way, if you're a consultant, feel free to rip this off. This is, I think, a great answer to the question. Well, as I said, I want to talk about sleep and your productivity. And I was particularly aware of that this last week because I was on vacation, or I should say staycation, because Gail and I decided that we were tired of traveling this fall and we were just going to stay home and rest and not be out on the road anymore. We were really worn out by that. So I spent some time working on the documentation for the upcoming release of our Get Noticed WordPress theme. That's my idea of a good time. So that tells you a little bit about how much of a geek I am. But I had a conversation with Gail after we got back off the road, and I said to her, I don't know what it is, but I'm just feeling discouraged. And so we talked about some different things that maybe it could be, and she asked me a lot of questions, and then there didn't seem to be anything that was really that significant. But she finally said, are you discouraged or just tired? Bingo. You know, that was it. I said, I think I'm just tired. I'm tired of traveling. I'm tired of all the work that I've been doing this fall, and I just need a break, which this last week was a good break. But I think it's easy to get those two confused, whether you're discouraged or tired, because a lot of the symptoms are the same. And I remember my parents saying to me when I was in college, you know, you can't burn the candle at both ends. And it's true. And many of us try to do that. We try to cheat our system. We try to get away with burning the candle at both ends. In fact, I had a question from someone this week that said, how can I get by on less sleep? Well, I don't think that's the best question to answer. Not if you want to be productive, because the issue is not how much time you spend working, but the kind of focus, the kind of creativity that you have when you are working. I like what David said in the Psalms in Psalm 127 and verse 2. He said, "It's useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones." And that's, you know, a promise that I really believe in, that God does give rest to his beloved or to his loved ones. And when I don't get enough sleep, I don't know about you, but I was thinking through this as I was preparing for this podcast. It impacts me in about five ways. There's probably more, but there's at least these five. And just see if these resonate with you. Number one, I'm less focused. I can tell that when I start to read something. I have to read it over and over again because I'm not that focused. I get more easily distracted. Number two, I'm less creative. You know, things that come easily to me when I'm rested are just an immense amount of work to try to create when I'm fatigued. Third, I'm less resilient. In other words, I'm a little more sensitive. It's more easy to get my feelings hurt. I get frustrated more easily, but I'm just less emotionally resilient. Number four, I'm less generous. I'm just less other focused when I'm tired. I'm concerned about me and my needs. I become sort of a situational narcissist. You know, it's all about me. Fifth, I'm less productive. And that's the key thing that I want to hone in on today in this episode of the podcast, is that when you're tired, you're just going to be less productive. And this is why your sleep is so critically important. You know, I talked about 10 practical ways to boost your energy level in episode two, one of the very first episodes that I did. And I want to revisit that again, because I really believe that you've got to actively manage your energy level if you're going to be productive. This is not something you can leave to chance. You know, it's not something you can just wake up and hope that you've got enough energy to accomplish your tasks. But I really do believe, through things like exercise and diet and mental focus, that you can increase your energy. And all of those are important, but none of them, in my opinion, are as important as sleep, both the quantity and the quality of it. So what I thought I would do in this episode is just share with you 8 tips for getting a better night's sleep. And these aren't in any particular order, but these are 8 that have worked for me. And at the end of this, I'll talk about some tips that I've used from time to time to add on to the 8. But these are the 8 that I observe every night. Some of these may work for you, some of them may not, but the important thing is to engineer it for you. What gets you the best night's sleep possible? That's the question you've got to answer. For me, it's this. First way, number one, avoid caffeinated drinks, particularly after about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, there was a time, even back in my 30s, when I could drink coffee till right before I went to bed, and it didn't seem to have an effect on me. And one of the annoying things about my sleep patterns, at least for Gail, is that I can fall asleep in about 30 seconds. Now, I sometimes, especially as I've gotten older, I wake up in the middle of the night. I don't sleep as long, but I can go to sleep quickly, but not if I've had caffeinated drinks. I'm very sensitive to that now. And I would say that if you're, you know, in your 40s, maybe older, and you got to just know your own system, avoid caffeinated drinks because they will keep you awake late at night. Number two, eliminate negative input. You know, this is so important for me because by nature, to be honest, I'm a worrier and I worry about everything. You know, sort of the positive part of that is that one of my strengths is strategic. So I'm always thinking about how do I get from here to there? And I'm very strategic in how I plan my work, how I think about my work. And that's just always been the case. The negative part of that is that I tend to worry. You know, I think, well, what if this happens? What if that happens? And so I avoid negative input. I remember back when I was the CEO of Thomas Nelson, we were owned by a private equity company in New York. And if I would see my phone ring at night, like after about 7 o'clock with a New York telephone number, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take that call because I promise they weren't calling to tell me that I'd won the lottery. They were calling to tell me something bad or ask some kind of question that would keep me up half the night worried about it. And that's just, again, who I am. So I try to avoid negative input. Now, I do watch the news. I've gone from time to time in a media fast where I've not watched any news, and I still do that from time to time. But I typically watch the news, you know, in the early evening. but I do get that turned off as it moves later into the night because I don't want to be worrying about things, particularly things that I don't really have any control over. So eliminate negative input. Third tip that I would offer, and the one that is really important to me to getting a good night's sleep, is go to bed on time. And that's easy to abuse because you get involved in a project or you're reading something that's interesting. Or for me, I just think, gosh, you know, there's one more thing I can knock out before I go to bed, or just a little bit more and I can finish this project. And I deceive myself into thinking that it's going to take less time than it really takes. Then I don't get to bed in time. And then I either wake up groggy or I wake up late. And so getting to bed on time is important for me. Now, for me, that means beginning to go to bed at about 9 o'clock because I want to be in bed, lights out, by no later than 10. Fourth tip, make sure the room is dark. And there's been a lot of research done on this, but when you have light in the room, any kind of light, it does impact your sleep patterns. And so we've got really heavy blinds and we block out all the outside light so the room is absolutely dark. And related to that is tip number 5, keep the temperature cool. You know, in the winter, we have the heat set to about 68 degrees. In the summer, we set it up to about 70 degrees, but still cool. So that it's just a little bit chilly. I like to have a cover on me. Again, you may be different. The important thing is to know yourself, but keeping the temperature cool helps me sleep better. And I think the research on this would bear that out as well. Number 6, run a fan. Or when I'm in a hotel, I don't take a fan with me, but I've slept with a fan since I was in college, I guess, is when I started it. Fortunately, Gail was used to that practice as well. So we turn a fan on every night. Our kids do the same thing. It's amazing how this is passed down generationally. Probably my grandkids will be doing it as well. But when I'm traveling, I use a little application on my iPhone called White Noise. And I don't actually listen to the white noise sound. There's a variety of sounds that come prepackaged with it. I use the brown sound. You know, if you have to know, it's the brown sound. And it's a little more deep and resonant, but it just provides enough background noise so that it masks whatever else is happening in the hotel or on the street or around me. So that's just something that helps me sleep better. Number 7, I think I've mentioned this in a podcast before. It may seem a little odd, but it's really helped me. I use essential oils. Now, that's kind of the craze, at least in the part of the country that I live in. A lot of people have rediscovered sort of the medicinal and healing powers of essential oils, but I'm really into this. My daughters have gotten into it. They work for a company called doTERRA. I have no interest in this other than, you know, I love to see my daughters prosper and they're doing really well at it, but they've really educated me on this and helped me see that there are a lot of oils, things that God has made in the earth that can be very helpful to us for all kinds of remedies. And so I'm just going to tell you what I do, but at night I apply 3 essential oils. I use vetiver and I put that on my feet and I put it behind my ears and I put it on my temples. And this is maybe under the umbrella of more information than you need to know, but for those of you that are interested. And then I always also use an essential oil called Clary Sage, C-L-A-R-Y, Sage, S-A-G-E, and I put that on my feet, and then I use lavender, and I rub that over my chest and on the back of my neck, and I put a little bit on the pillow as well. But that's a protocol that my daughter, Marissa, has developed for sleeping better, and I'm going to tell you, once I started doing that, it knocks me out. It's been fantastic. Plus, it just smells good. But if you're interested in that, you can find out more at michaelhyatt.com/oils, and that will take you to her website and you can connect with her if you're interested. The 8th tip I would offer is prayer. Gail and I pray together every night. We lay in bed, we hold hands, and we pray about the things that are important to us. And just as a practical benefit, it gets it off our minds so we don't have to be thinking about it all night. You know, there's a verse in scripture that says, cast your burdens upon the Lord and he will sustain you. I think it's Psalm 68. I didn't look up the verse before I did the prep for the podcast, but at any rate, I think it's really true. Cast your burden on the Lord because he'll care for you. And we do that. So whatever's got us burdened down, whatever's got us weighed down, we just unload that through prayer and it helps it get us off our minds and enables us to just sleep better. And plus, I will say this, as a couple, it really helps us connect. We love doing that. That's like the last thing we have to do. And sometimes it's really short because we're tired. Sometimes it's longer. Sometimes it's with tears. Sometimes it's with laughter. But, you know, it's just kind of the final connection that we make before we drift off to sleep. Now, I said that I was going to share some additional things that might be helpful to you. So a couple other things that I do from time to time. A hot bath. Sometimes, some people swear by this. It's been very helpful to me from time to time. I also like to read. I don't do that every night, by the way, because sometimes it overstimulates my mind. I have to be careful about what I do read. But if it's something mindless, like flipping through a magazine, you know, like a Mac magazine or a computer magazine, which I love to read, it's kind of mindless, not something that's going to engage my thinking beyond the magazine reading. So I'll do that. We, for years, listened to music. We listened to the same soundtrack every single night. It was almost like an audio cue or trigger that put us into a state of mind that got us to sleep quickly. I'm not sure why we stopped doing that, but we don't do that currently, and we haven't done it for a couple of years. But the thing I want to suggest to you is that you need to be intentional with your sleep. Consider re-engineering your evening ritual. What would it make possible if you could actually get more sleep? If you could get a higher quality sleep, could it make you more creative? Could it make you more productive, more emotionally resilient, and all the things that I shared earlier? In podcast episode 28, I talked about becoming more productive by re-engineering your morning ritual. And so what I'm suggesting now is that you can become more productive by re-engineering your evening ritual and being very deliberate about what you do before you go to sleep. So I hope that's been helpful. I'll be back in a minute with our listener Q&A segment. And don't forget, we're going to answer questions about a range of subjects, not just those related to the topic of this podcast. I'll be back in a minute. All right, welcome back. Tons of questions this week. I didn't have that many last week. I guess that was the transition, but a ton of them this week, more than I can answer today, but hopefully we'll get to some of the other ones in the coming weeks. But the first question is about sleep. It's the only one I got about sleep, but somebody knew that I was going to be talking about in this podcast, so they ask. And this first question comes from Jeff.
Hey, Michael, this is Jeff Sanders from the 5 a.m. Miracle Podcast at jeffsanders.com. I have a question about sleep. Do you think quantity or quality matters more? In other words, could I get by with just 5 high-quality hours of sleep instead of 8 or 9 mediocre hours? And I only ask this because I rarely get as much sleep as I need. And if I could get by with less, that would be really helpful. Thanks, Michael.
Great question, Jeff. You know, honestly, I don't think it's either or. I mean, you could get 1 hour of great sleep, get woken up suddenly, not get any more sleep, and that still wouldn't be enough. So the quality wouldn't help you. On the other hand, you could sleep 10 hours, but if you're tossing and turning and drifting in and out of sleep, that's probably not going to be helpful either. I think really you've got to engineer it for you. Everybody's different. You know, I think all the research I've read says you need at least 7 hours of sleep, and some people need 8 or 9 hours of sleep. There's a lot of study that's been done on the correlation between the quality of sleep and heart health, for example. But everybody's different. And I think you've just got to pay attention and notice what works for you and really track it that next day after. In other words, what was the quality of your sleep and how productive were you on that given day? And then just decide you're going to be deliberate about it. I mean, make it a big experiment and get it figured out for you. No two people are going to be the same. The only thing I would say, and I recommend this not from a productivity perspective or from a health perspective, but from a marital perspective. If you're married, I really encourage you to go to bed at the same time together. I know couples that don't do that, and it leads to other trouble. So we go to bed at the same time. I typically get up a little bit before Gail, but we get up roughly the same time within an hour or so of one another, but we always go to bed together. And one of the things that makes possible is praying together. So again, I'd get it figured out for yourself and then work it out or negotiate it with your spouse. The next question comes from, I got to look here, Tabitha.
Hi, Michael. I'm Tabitha Ford from Dallas, Texas. I blog to a group of motivated hairdressers at smallsalonbiz.com. Recently, a few beauty blogs have offered to pay me a fee if I allow them to repost my content on their websites. I'm very flattered and interested in earning a few extra bucks, but I've been told duplicate content is a bad thing. Is there any way to responsibly take advantage of these opportunities? Thanks in advance for your time and help.
Tabitha, I think this happens to every blogger once they start getting some traction, as other people want to pick up their content, and you should be flattered. You should be honored that somebody else is finding value in what you've written. But whoever told you that it's a bad idea was right, because Google will penalize your site for duplicate content. Now, having said that, there's no reason why you can't reframe the content or rewrite it in some way or do an original post. In fact, I think that's the more strategic option, is tell the person that you don't want to actually have them post the same content for the reasons I've said, but offer to write a guest post, some original content, with the expectation that they will link back to your site, and so you can pick up some new traffic. Jeff Goins talked about this in my book, Chapter 38, Write Guest Posts in Platform Get Noticed in a Noisy World. But he used that as a strategy really to build the traffic for his website and went from amateur to pro in about 2 years. And that's what he's doing full time now, principally through the strategy of guest post. So it's a great strategy to use, and I think a much better strategy than allowing people to just repost your content. The next question comes from John.
Hi, Michael. This is John Burke from Denver, Colorado. My blog site is rfpblog.com, as in requestforpersonalityblog.com. You know, as an engineer, I've been asked to speak at different events on the subject of developing a winning personality. You know, I've been doing it for free to build my resume. So my question is, how do I start to monetize these speaking events? Thank you so much in advance for your advice.
John, a couple things I would say about this. First of all, you've got to be convinced in your own head that you're worth the money. That's the biggest obstacle people have, is they're just not convinced, because they wouldn't pay themselves to speak. They think, well, I don't really have that much to offer. We tend to diminish ourselves. And yet other people will pay you. And the question of how much, you know, that's got to be determined through negotiation and over time and based on your experience and all the rest and the needs of the sponsor. But you can absolutely do this. I wrote a blog post that, if you didn't read it this week, I want to encourage you to. I posted this on Friday of last week, and it went crazy. It got a lot of comments, a ton of Facebook shares, but it's called Why You Should Do It for the Money and Stop Feeling Guilty About It. And it's really my defense of why we need to try to monetize our platform, why it's good for us, why it's good for the people that engage us, and why ultimately it's good for the world, because it enables us to provide for the needs of the world when we charge. This week's Backstage Pass at Platform University, as I mentioned, talks all about speaking and monetizing your platform. So if you're a member of Platform University, you can check that out. And by the way, if you're not, I really would encourage you to check it out. It's $30 a month. You can cancel anytime. In fact, if you cancel in the first 30 days, we'll give you a full refund. So there's no risk, no harm, no foul. But I think that one episode would be hugely helpful to you. And then I have an entire conference called the Launch Conference, and you can find out more at launchconference.tv. But that's all about the business of public speaking. How do you take an interest in public speaking, or sort of an amateur career in public speaking, and how do you go pro? How do you charge enough to make a living off of it? And how do you monetize your content through back of the room sales and other things that you can do through your content? So that's the Launch Conference. We just held that up in Vail, Colorado 2 weeks ago, but we've got another one coming up this spring, and you can find out more on the website. So great question. I get that question a lot, and I think those resources will be of help to you. The next question comes from Egil.
Hi, Michael. This is Egil Ellingsen from Norway. Thanks for a great podcast. Among many things, I've benefited lots from your insights on morning rituals. I wanted to ask about one thing, and that's related to the tools you use in your morning ritual. I recognize you use your digital resources a lot, for instance, with the app for your journaling. I've been thinking it might be helpful to keep all those things out of the morning ritual, to keep it, if you want, more silent. So, for instance, use a moleskin for the journaling. And I wanted to ask if you have reflections on why you find it helpful to use your digital resources in the morning ritual. Thanks, Michael.
Egil, I get asked this question a lot, and forgive me for mispronouncing your name. But I love this question because people are passionate about their tools. You know, I meet people all the time who say to me, I could never use digital tools in my morning ritual. I like the analog tools. You know, I want to be able to read a real Bible and write in a real journal and all the rest. And I say, you know, whatever works for you, use it. I don't think the tools are that important. I think they're only important in the sense of whether or not they facilitate the outcome that you're after. I don't really try to esteem the tools above what they should be esteemed. I try to use the tools that work best. The reason I use digital tools is because they don't get in the way for me. I'm not thinking about them. I don't write hardly anything longhand. And so for me to write in my morning ritual would just get in the way. It would be cumbersome. It's not something I'm used to. It's not something that I'm good at. And I really want to be about the business, for example, when I'm journaling, about really journaling, really about reflecting on the previous day and thinking about what I want to accomplish today. And so I don't want the tool to get in the way. But that may not be the right answer for you. It may be that an analog journal is the very best thing for you. So, you know, use what works best, and don't let somebody else, even me, don't let somebody else intimidate you because they use different tools. They're not better. They're just different. And there are some that are more efficient and some that are less efficient, but it can only be evaluated relevant to your own comfort and your own desired outcome. The last question comes from Matthew.
Hey there, Michael. This is Matt Kenyon from Orlando, Florida, and I blog about Christ in culture at MathoniusSpeaks.com. So my question for you, Michael, is this. I have high hopes and plans of releasing ebooks and books, but thanks to you, your podcast, and your blog, I know having a platform is very important prior to doing that. So how do I know when my platform is ready for my product? Is there an optimal number of followers? Is there a certain metric that I need to measure that by? I appreciate any insight you have on this. Your website's been immensely helpful. Thank you.
Matt, the metrics are only important for certain types of monetization. In other words, if you're going to sell advertising, the metrics are going to be important to you because advertisers want a certain level of traffic, for example, or page views, to be more specific, before they're willing to commit to advertise it on your site. And I generally tell people that if that's the way that you want to monetize, to advertise, then you probably need about 10,000 monthly unique visitors before that's going to be a worthwhile endeavor. But for other types of monetization, like selling ebooks or booking consulting or speaking, you know, that could be with a much, much smaller number. It all depends on how engaged your audience is. I would say this, though, and this is something I wished I would have done, and that is start selling something from the beginning. I think if you're not careful, it's easy to train your audience that everything is for free. And I made this mistake. And for years, I blogged, I gave away a ton of resources, downloadable stuff. And it was all free. And it just didn't occur to me to monetize it because I had a very good job where I got paid well and I didn't really have the financial need for it. And it just didn't occur to me. And unfortunately, what I didn't realize is that I was training people to expect stuff for free. And ultimately, that wasn't going to be good for me. But more importantly, it wouldn't be good for them because if people get everything for free, they simply don't respect it. And again, I talked about that in the blog post that I mentioned earlier that I wrote last week, why you should do it for the money and stop feeling guilty about it. And I think this is one danger that we all face. So I would start immediately with something. And I started, apart from advertising, I started with an ebook called Writing a Winning Book Proposal. And I started offering that on my site. You could still get all my blog content. In fact, it's true to this day. You can still get all my blog content. You can get my podcast. I churn out a ton of content for free, but I'm also selling a lot of stuff. So I think you can start that really at any level you are. You don't have to wait till you reach a certain level. So now it's your turn. What things have you found helpful in getting a better night's rest? To go back to our original topic, I would love to hear from you. And to comment on this episode, go to my blog at michaelhyatt.com/68, as in episode 68. And I'll be back in a minute with some final announcements. This is your life. First announcement is that we're just a few weeks away from the Platform Conference in Dallas, Texas on November the 3rd through the 5th. And this is going to be an incredible conference. It's really designed for anyone who wants to jumpstart their platform or take it to the next level. It's going to be super practical. We've got an unbelievable lineup of speakers, including Lisa Turkhurst, Derek Halpern, Jeff Goines, Cliff Ravenscraft, the podcast Answer Man, Stu McLaren, Michelle Cachat, Ray Edwards, and Amy Porterfield. And it's going to be a terrific time of just exploring what it takes to take our platforms to the next level. And the reason I'm mentioning it this week is the $200 discount for my podcast listeners ends on October the 18th. So if you register between now and October the 18th, you can take $200 off the registration price, and you can find out more at platformconference.tv. And if you register, or when you register, enter that code October, clever, huh? Enter the code October, and that'll give you $200 off. And I would love to meet you in Dallas. I promise it'll be worth your while. Second announcement, if you're serious about starting a platform, you must have a self-hosted WordPress site. You've heard me talk about that before. I want to emphasize it again. And I've got a great screencast that will help you do this at michaelhyatt.com/WordPress setup. It'll take you 20 minutes or less, I promise. And I've also got in that screencast a discount link or an affiliate link to Bluehost so that you can get their hosting at $1 off per month, their advertised rate. So it's only $3.95 a month if you do it through the affiliate link that's in that screencast. Now, I want to tell you about my next podcast, and this is the last announcement. I'm going to be interviewing somebody that's very near and dear to me, my very own wife, Gail. And we're going to be having a conversation about the topic, how to be married to a high achiever without killing them. And she has been asked this a lot. She had a literary agent come to her and ask her to write a book on this topic. She's been asked for interviews on this topic, and she's got some great insight. And this is not just for women that are married to high achievers, but for men that are married to high achievers or high achievers who are married to one another. It doesn't matter, but there are some things that you need to know and some things that I think will make your life much more palatable and enjoyable if you understand them. And it'll just be a fun conversation. I think there'll be some humor, and it's going to be totally unscripted. I have no idea what she's going to say. Well, I have a couple ideas what she's going to say, but you know, I'm not muzzling her at all. She can say whatever she wants, as is the case all the time, and she will, I promise you. So if you've got a question about that topic or any topic, because you know I'm taking any questions now on any topic, you can do so at michaelhyatt.com/podcast question. Well, that's it for this episode of This Is Your Life. If you've enjoyed this, go to the show notes at michaelhyatt.com/68, as in episode 68. I'd love for you to share the love, to show the love, and give me some visibility on the podcast by going to michaelhyatt.com/love, and that'll enable you to automatically tweet out a link to this podcast, and then to rate my podcast on iTunes. That really helps with the visibility there as well. But until next time, remember, your life is a gift. Now go make it count. This is your